praise the Lord also for this day that He has made, that we can hear His word and are blessed and respond to it and believe it, and thus having part in that what He does now. All who were here last night, they know how touched we were when God's word came to us. I must say, I'm still today under the impact, and I ask myself whether we understood what kind of grace was given to us, that we may hear what we hear, that we may believe, as the scripture says, without any human interpretation. Brother Kupfer, my old friend, told me after the meeting, I'm a bit disappointed that there was no echo in the meeting. And I had the impression that we were so much overwhelmed that we didn't even know how we should react. But one request I nevertheless have for all of us. When the word of the Lord becomes great to us and touches us inwardly, let us go with and be thankful, for it begins to burn in us because He speaks to us. And there it may not be missing, but it just belongs to it, that we give Him the honor and the praise for everything. You notice I'm still a bit exhausted because of last night. Such a sermon strains on you physically, and then I still have many duties while others are again resting. There are things that I have to do. Tomorrow at midday the plane leaves for Africa, and many things have still to be done. But we are grateful to God that He gives us always new strength, and this is sufficient. This is enough. As the requirements are, so He gives the strength that we can walk forward. Also today, we will look at some scriptures. Not every meeting is the same. Out of three, each one can be different. Important is that God comes to His right in our midst, in our lives, and that it's not just words which we hear, but that the kingdom of God is in power, and that it can be manifested in power, because that's basically what it's about. We have heard already the wonderful psalm we were reading, and it says here in the last verse, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Thou wilt show me the path of life, the way to eternal life. He who believes in the Son of God has eternal life. Eternal life is a gift of God, and it was given to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. I thought before we go into the other scriptures, I thought on Psalms 22 from verse 26, Psalms 22 from verse 26. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fed upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. Only up to here, this wonderful word. The day and the hour comes in which the Lord God, as the governor of the nations, as Lord, as King, he will be highly exalted. Today he is despised. Today he is just kept in the mouth where he fits into the program. But who is aligned to believe with all his heart and to serve the Lord? Here we read it, your heart shall live forever. Not just being touched a bit, it shall live, receiving eternal life. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. I think here on the word of last night, and in connection with it, to some scriptures, which I still would like to read. Let us begin with Luke 16, with this verse 16, that is well known to everyone. Yesterday we spoke about the kingdom of God, and that the kingdom of God was given for the purpose that we bear his fruits. And if we don't bear his fruits, then it is taken from us and will be given to them who are ready to bear the fruits. We were reading this yesterday. Maybe it would be necessary to read it again for the sake of those who were not here last night. Let us firstly read Matthew 21, verse 43. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Now we go to Luke 16, verse 16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Let me read it again. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached through the gospel, and every man presseth into it. This word is very important. Important for you and for me, for everyone who wants to come into the kingdom of God. There will be enough obstacles put onto your way. Many friends who want to stop you, voices which will arise and say, what your parents and grandparents believed, this you shall also believe, for this is enough. There will be enough obstacles. You will have to be violent to loosen yourself from everything and to press into the kingdom of God, to become a part of this kingdom of God. As we emphasized already last night, not a bit religion, not a bit Christendom, but kingdom of God, here on this earth, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we see here that the law and the prophets were until John, and since that time, the kingdom of God is preached through the gospel, through the message of salvation. In this message of salvation must everything be contained, what serves for salvation and what belongs to it. We go to the book of Acts, chapter 13. There was a turning point so that the scripture might be fulfilled again, and the kingdom of God was preached to the nations. Acts chapter 13 from verse 46. Here it says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Did we understand what is written in this verse? The kingdom of God is connected with the word of God. The word of God is connected with God Himself. We can only be in the kingdom of God if we hear the word of God and receive it and believe it, and it is linked with eternal life. For here it is written, but seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Many people did not understand this yet. They trust the church or some kind of man, and they think they might get eternal life. Eternal life is only in God. And this eternal life was manifested on earth in Christ. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, by the proclamation of the word, to the people eternal life is brought nigh. He who rejects the word judges himself unworthy of eternal life. I read this verse again, so that we see the full significance of the proclamation of the word. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you, piously it went on. The services took their course. Everything was as solemn as before and after. But the word of the hour, the preaching of the gospel, the kingdom of God that broke through, this they did not understand. This they rejected, and thus they counted themselves unworthy of eternal life. Listen closely. He who rejects the promised word for this time, he has no seed in himself from which new life could come forth. It is about the word of the hour in the kingdom of God, not about a pious fuss. It is about to hear what the Spirit says unto the churches now. It is about to believe what God promised us for this time. This makes the difference between all the churches and the church of the living God. The church of the living God receives and accepts the word of God and counts herself worthy of eternal life and is glad to hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. It still continues. Verse 47. In Acts 13, for so has the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. In Psalms 22, we read that the Lord is the governor among the nations, and that all the peoples will worship him. Here we see how the proclamation of the salvation of God. You all know my tract in which I have written the sentence that the people are prepared for the salvation all of their life. And when they then passed away, then they have not been saved. Even though at the end all the last sacraments were given, and then comes this affidavit of means, you can't call it anything else, this admission, the brother or the sister is not up, but landed somewhere down. With God, it is totally different. Here not people save. Here the authority is not in an office. Here is divine authority of the word of God in our midst. And under this divine authority of the word, we all submit, whether we serve or whether we are served, whether we preach or whether we hear the preaching. There is only one authority in the Church of the Living God, and this is the authority of the Word of God. There is only one head, and this head is Jesus Christ. And the head is enough for us. A head of heads can therefore not exist. This can exist in an earthly institution, but not that one put upon a head another head of heads. This of a truth could not be looked at. And for us who we have heard the word of God, there is only one thing left. And this is God's way that leads to salvation, the word of God that is preached. And we want to judge ourselves as being worthy of eternal life and to respond to that what God says. How many have the assurance to have received eternal life by the faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Through that faith that came from the Word of God, through that faith that came forth by the preaching of the true Word, through that faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints, through the faith, as the scripture says, not some kind of faith, but the biblical faith alone saves. And therefore it is written in reference to this, in the letter to the Ephesians, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. People did many things. In the kingdom of God counts only one thing, the biblical water baptism, the biblical faith, the biblical proclamation. There from one thing, there are not two or three additions. Everything contains in the singular. Only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one church, one kingdom of God. And to this we want to belong. Let us sum it up. We read, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Our brother Geiler already mentioned it. It is a pain when one has to think about that a chosen people, in particular chosen by God, and then in the most crucial hour of all their history, missed the day and the hour of their divine visitation. This is a deep pain when he had to say, or as it is written, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them who believe on his name. In his name, remission of sins should be preached to all nations. Let me read this to you from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Here it should still be written, if I'm not mistaken, that in his name remission of sins should be preached. Yes, in Luke 24, verse 45-47. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. There it began, and then it went on to the nations. When our Lord was on this earth, he said to his disciples, don't go to the Gentiles, but go to the lost sheep of Israel. But then came the time that all peoples, tongues, and nations would be included into the salvation of God. And so, we have to understand the word that we partly read just now from Acts chapter 13. Here I would like to read verse 48. Acts 13, verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Only that person who really believes can be saved. He who remains unbelieving will be condemned. That's how it is written in Mark 16. Believing on whom? On Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the becoming of a believer includes to believe Him, that what He said, to believe it and to do accordingly. Not only to confess with the lips, but to stand with the deed behind it. Let us go on with the thought of the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 13 is also written a very sad word, but is connected with it, what we looked at already. Luke 13, from verse 28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Do you see what the rejection of the Lord has as a result? He who rejects Him will be rejected by Him. Is this clear? It is not because of the Lord. God wants that all men are helped. He wants that all men are saved. But not all can be helped. Not all can believe. They will be outside. But Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets will be in the kingdom of God, whilst they themselves will be thrust out. In verse 29 it says, and they shall come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Listen closely. All who on that day, whom God already determined, will be in the kingdom of God, yes, who will partake in the marriage supper, they have, at their time, heard the word. They believed it. They entered already here into the kingdom of God, to then be able to be in the kingdom of God. A person who does not enter the kingdom of God during his lifetime will not be in it after death. A person who is not born again during his lifetime will not be born again after death. Is this understandable? It starts here, today, with you and with God, with me and with God. He who then, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and with all the prophets, wants to be in the kingdom of God, let him believe as Abraham believed. Let him be obedient as he was obedient. Let him arise like he arose. And it said, leave thy father's house, your relatives, leave everything behind, and go into the land that I will show thee. Abraham will be there, and all who went on the way, who heard the call, and who left everything, who did not let themselves be stopped, but who heard the divine call, they will be in the kingdom of God. All who hearken to that, what the Lord says, they will on that day when he calls, hear his voice and come forth to be then with him. Only he who really hears his voice, who responds to it and believes, will have part. How wonderful that it's written here worldwide, globally. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Let us go with this to Matthew chapter 22. You all know our Lord spoke always in parables. Here it says from verse 2, Matthew 22, from verse 2, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king who made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. How sad! A great feast should take place. The guests were invited, but they would not come. Therefore, it is written in Revelation 19, blessed are they who are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed is he who has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. There are called ones, there are chosen ones. And we see this in the parable of Matthew 25. Half of them who arose to meet the bridegroom were foolish, and the other half were wise. It went right through. Who are now the foolish? Who are the wise? The foolish were satisfied with the illumination, with the lamp in their hand. The wise wanted a reservoir. They didn't want that they lack when this special hour would be at midnight. And here we are already at the subject which for us as believers in the end time is the most important. The message that foreruns the second coming of Christ, the call that goes forth, that a calling out and preparation can take place. And you can read it, the same word that is used in the prophet Isaiah. A voice cries, a call goes forth. Here it's again about the cry. Here it's about that people hear the cry, the call of God. Not the call of another man, but the call of God. And this is the message which we come to hear in this time, that includes all promises, all of Bible prophecy, And therefore we know, when it says here, that a cry was made, or a call goes forth, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him," then there must be people who let themselves be spoken to by God. People who hear the word of the hour and who receive it. People who draw from the divine reservoir, who are not satisfied with a new birth, with the illumination and renewing, but who can always refill their vessels with divine oil. This reminds us on the sevenfold lampstand from Zechariah chapter 4. And listen closely. Everything what is written in the Bible has a special significance. I read from Zechariah chapter 4, just that you know what this bowl with oil is and what it is all about. In Zechariah chapter 4, here we read from verse 2, "And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl of oil upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof." When we read in the New Testament of lamps and candlesticks, read of virgins, of marriage supper, of the Holy Spirit, of oil and so forth, then we always have to go back to the biblical pattern, to the point of origin. So, a lampstand. What does the lampstand mean? I read it to you from the New Testament, from Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, here it says in verse 12, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks." Here John saw the one church of the new covenant in its seven ages, for it were seven pipes, and there are seven angels as messengers to the church for the seven church ages. Let me also read this in Revelation chapter 1. There it says in verse 20, "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks." The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. God has, in the early church, he has chosen seven local churches. You can read it. The first in Ephesus, the second in Smyrna, the third in Pergamos, the fourth in Thyatira, and then came Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Seven local churches to show prophetically in the plan of salvation the course of the one New Testament church. Already beforehand, and that the message can be given, which then would be brought at that time. What is important for us when we go back to Zechariah 4 is this bowl of oil, this reservoir, this bowl. You know very well what is inside of it. It's a bowl in which is a supply. And right this bowl it is that makes the difference between the wise and the foolish. This bowl, this jar with oil. One can say vessel, one can say bowl, one can call many names for the same thing. Important is that we understand the matter itself. One single church, but she goes through seven epochs, therefore one bowl of oil, but seven pipes and seven lamps to in every church age put the light of the revealed word anew upon the lampstand. And Jesus, our Lord, said, the light is not given for the purpose that it is lit and then be put under the bushel, but upon the lampstand. You can read the last verses in Isaiah chapter 8 and then the first ones in chapter 9. Those who sat in darkness saw a great light. What was it? The Word becoming flesh, Bible prophecy in its fulfillment. And that's how the Kingdom of God started, as we emphasized it already many times. The prophet saw already in the Old Testament this golden lampstand, the New Testament church. He saw the bowl of oil and he saw the seven pipes for the seven lamps that were on it. I am very grateful to God for it, to not only have lamps, but to recognize that there were seven epochs and that the Spirit of God time and again broke forth, that he revealed hidden things, and things kept secret he made known. And we live in the days in which all the mysteries of the Word of God were revealed by the Spirit of God. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. But it must flow to us. Whoever does not see this divine connection, he can even have experienced the new birth. And then all of a sudden, he somehow drops out. He doesn't walk the whole way with God. But when it is written here that the golden lampstand had seven lamps, seven pipes, and it is written in the New Testament that in the right hand of the Lord were seven stars, and the seven stars were the seven angels of the seven churches. So, he who is of God will respect this divine order. In the Kingdom of God, there is a divine order. God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace in all the churches of the saints. But the saints submit under his word. And these are the wise virgins. These are the elect. They see, they recognize, they take and draw from this bowl of oil, from this reservoir, to have a reserve for themselves when the hour comes when reserve is needed. One is linked to the other. Let us assume people get believers, they are illuminated and so forth, but do not acknowledge then in what kind of way God has put things in order, that in the seven church messages in Revelation 2 and 3 it is written seven times, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." And whom did the Spirit use to bring the message? Most certainly always the church angel, and then the church should listen. But if somebody says, "I'm a believer, but I have God's word, I'm in the know, I know my way around, I don't need anyone." But let us assume God has sent a John, what we believe with all our heart, and there were people who said, "No, this does not fit into our program." But it was a part of God's program, and therefore it is written, all who followed his message and believed him, they were baptized. And the Pharisees rejected for themselves the counsel of God. Do you all know this scripture? Why did they reject the counsel of God? Only because they did not recognize that the kingdom of God is already in their midst, and that the preparations were made through a message which God has sent through his messenger back then. The people rejected it and walked on their own ways. It were individuals whom God called out, to whom he spoke, and whom he then put together as a whole to form something new. And from this he builds his church. Since Pentecost, and listen closely, when you read the report in Acts chapter 2, there were Medians and Persians and Elamites. There were at least 16, 17, 18 different nationalities. Already there, God has shown that to all peoples, tongues, and nations, salvation will be given. It were people who by the outpouring of the Spirit were drawn and thus being led into the kingdom of God. The same is happening today. It is the Spirit of God who has to draw the individual, convicting of sin, of unbelief, of judgment. The Spirit of God must work in the hearts of the people. Let us come back here to this word to see how quickly people can reject for themselves the counsel of God and have then their own program within the kingdom of God. Many times we have said it, we are not interested in own programs, but we would like to be a part of the plan of God in this time, just being embedded into that what God is presently doing, having part in that what is now happening in the kingdom of God. One bowl of oil, but seven pipes, seven lamps, for over and again a new beginning had to be made. And I tell you something more. Right here in Zechariah chapter 4, it's also written of the capstone. Just believe it, the prophets already in their time, by the Spirit, they have seen the things, maybe not so clear as we see them today, because the time was not here, the time of fulfillment, to place everything. Only then, when Bible prophecy comes to fulfillment, then we can place it. The Lord Jesus said many times, when you see this or that coming to pass, then you know and recognize by it that the time has come near. When we look into the Holy Scripture, then there were more than 100 prophecies, and one should have hoped that right those who know the Scriptures would see that before their eyes Bible prophecy comes to fulfillment. And it was not the case. On the contrary, they were against the Lord because they missed the day and the hour of their divine visitation. What is today with the churches? What is with the nations and also with the people of Israel? Everything has its place. What I wanted to say and what the Lord wants to tell us is the following. Since Pentecost, we see that it's not a nationality, that it's not a tribe, not a people, but as it was shown to Peter in the book of Acts 10, in a vision he was shown in that sheet that came down from heaven, when he saw all the unclean things, on creeping things, and he says, Lord, I have never eaten anything that is unclean. And the Lord speaks loud and clear, what I have cleansed, thou shalt not call unclean, but arise and go on the way with the man whom I have sent. Amen. We have to go on our way and recognize that God from all peoples, tongues and nations has called out people who are ordained to become believers. If we were ordained to become believers, then we were ordained to become the redeemed. And if we are the redeemed, then we are also the pardoned ones. And if we are pardoned, then we are free of guilt and sin. Yes, the debt was paid for. The sin was forgiven. And that's why we shall and may preach in His name the remission of sins, justification, sanctification, baptism in the Holy Spirit, an open heaven, access by the Spirit to that what the Spirit says unto the churches. As we emphasized last night, there were revivals, and the Spirit of God was at work. This we all know. How many churches came into existence because a revival broke forth? What happened thereafter? It didn't always take a long time, and it was reshaped, reorganized. Everything was shaped in certain rules which people looked at to be right. But God cannot be shaped. A shape is dead. God is alive. Don't seek the living among the dead. He is risen. He brings resurrection life to you and to me. He makes us a living organism of his body, so that through us the kingdom of God can be continued on earth, and that God comes to his right. That's what it is about. But here we see the inflow from the bowl of oil. How grateful we can be. Not only a new birth or renewing or baptism in the Holy Spirit, but the supply, the divine connection. Also about this we spoke in the past. We time and again must have the connection to that what God is presently doing. Back then, John had his ministry, then the Lord Jesus his, and then came the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. After that we have the book of Acts, and then came the epistles, then the last book, the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Everything a complete, a perfect testimony that was left to us in the Holy Scriptures. But now we must recognize in what kind of way the kingdom of God goes on, what is happening in it, where is the kingdom of God? In Germany, in America, where is it? The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God in you, and you in the kingdom of God. You know the Lord and are known by him. There is a personal relationship to him, and then to everything what he promised in his word, and what he also does then. Let us come back to the kingdom of God. There we find still some scriptures in the New Testament which speak of it. In particular, in Matthew chapter 13, here it speaks over and again of the kingdom of God. And I would like to read to you who actually the good seed is. Matthew chapter 13, here it is written in verse 38, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. One are the children of God, and the children of God are the children of the kingdom. The tares are the children of the wicked one. They belong to the enemy. We belong to God. We belong into the kingdom of God. And everything what happens in the kingdom of God, this must and will happen with us and through us. You may say, this is a very far-fetched sentence. No, it is not. Because if God could have done everything without us, then he would not have created himself a body as his church. Then he would not have laid the gifts and ministries into it at all. God wanted to make himself a living organism here on this earth. When he was manifested in Christ, then it is written of him, a body hast thou prepared for me. I have come to do thy will, O God. And then Paul writes of the church in 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 13, that we were baptized by one Spirit into one body. So, not a dead organization, but a living organism filled with the Spirit of God, led inspired, taught everything what the Spirit of God does. This happens in the Church of the Living God. And hence, the Kingdom of God is right amongst us. It still goes on in Matthew 13, verse 41. Here it is written, "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity." The moment comes where all offenses, all obstacles will be taken out of the kingdom of God. And you see already what is then written in verse 43. "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." And then it says, as written in Revelation, "Who has ears to hear, let him hear." So, into what time falls all this? Into the final events with the Church of the Living God. And we believe that the Lord has his way with us. Many scriptures could be read of the Kingdom of God. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 4, probably, that the Kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. "For the Kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." In whose power? What effect has this power? We read, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached." But the kingdom of God is not just a preaching in words. God stands with a deed behind his word to perform what was preached, to do, to realize. So, we may count with it, as it was then, so it will be now. Although some may think everything goes on so slowly, rather slowly and thoroughly, then fast and then come off the road. Let us keep pace with God, walking forward by faith, and rest in it, knowing it is his business, his work, his church, his kingdom, his word, his people. It's about him, and then also about us. Without him, we can do nothing. He in turn needs us to perform what he intended to do. If I would not know that the living God watches over his word to fulfill it at the appointed time, and I write now again a brochure, there are sometimes words written like "at the appointed time." God has somehow appointed a time for everything, especially when it is about extraordinary events in the plan of salvation. Then the time was appointed for it. It cannot happen sooner or later. Concerning the becoming of a believer and to serve the Lord, then it can be today. Concerning to have an experience with the Lord, to become a believer, to be born again, to experience the conversion, to be baptized in the Spirit. All this we can experience daily. This is the time in which we live. No man needs to say, I will see when my time comes that I will be converted. No, here applies the word today. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Here it doesn't apply wait until your time comes, but there applies the today. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. But when it is about the gathering of the people of Israel, about the calling out of the church, about the end time, and about the things which are connected with it, then the right time must have come for it. And then God lets things follow one another quickly and cuts it short in righteousness. The kingdom of God is up to God, and we totally surrendered unto him. I don't believe that we just come here to be here. I believe that this is the time of preparation, and that God has taken care for it, that food is available, that revelation flows to us. Some have own revelations. Thanks be to God, we can do without them. And when I say this today, I say it in the fear of God. Until now, I didn't get one single own revelation. All what I have is the revealed word by the Holy Spirit. Understanding and insight into God's plan of salvation does not come by searching of the human spirit, but by the revelation of the Spirit of God. Everything in the kingdom of God is established on revelation. This Brother Branham emphasized many times. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And upon this rock of the divine revelation of Jesus Christ, the church is built, and the church itself will also become a revelation. Listen closely. Read in Romans 8. The whole creation waits for the redemption, for the deliverance, and it's connected with the manifestation of the sons of God. The sons of God, the children of God, the children of the kingdom, they will experience in the kingdom of God their glorification. I could read it to you, that it's not only written that the Lord will return to take his own home. It is also written that he will come to be glorified in his own and to find admiration in all who have become believers. Many, many things are written. I don't know whether the believers of the end time message will be as happy about any brochure as about the one that is going to be published now, which shows and illuminates the various comings of the Lord in the specific context. Joy and bliss will flow through our hearts when we read in Zechariah 14 that the Lord will step with his feet upon the Mount of Olives. Then this is a totally different coming than the coming to fetch his bride. You understand? Everything has its place when it's written he will come and all the angels with him. Then this is again something different. But as I said, I feel such a great joy about it. For instance, I read one scripture here. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, here it says in the last verse, 1 Thessalonians 3, last verse, To the end he may establish your hearts, unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. What is this coming? If we would go here to Matthew 27, verse 51, there it says, many of the saints rose with him. And we all know 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 and 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. It will just be so. Then the day has come, the glorious morning, when Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, all prophets, all saints and believers of the old and of the new covenant, all apostles, all who are redeemed and sanctified in Christ, they will meet together to then celebrate the marriage supper in glory. And to them we want to belong. And if you read there in Matthew 27, there it is written again, and many of the saints, not all, just like in Matthew 25, always one part is ready and the other not. But also this we will still set forth. Today it is about to recognize what is happening in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not of empty words. The kingdom of God is in power, namely that the power of God is manifested. It breaks forth its way with violence, and all who want to press into it must also be violent, loosen themselves from everything, and be ready to serve the Lord, to follow him and to believe him. Who is ready for it? Who wants to say deep in his heart, faithful Lord, I don't want to be part of the second resurrection. I want to be part of the first resurrection. But listen, it is written, then the kingdom of heaven, whether one says kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God, it is always the same kingdom, namely the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in this connection, the word is written in Matthew 24, verse 14, that the gospel of the kingdom, not only the kingdom, but the gospel of the kingdom. In this translation, we have the word gospel as the message of salvation. That's how it is translated here. Exactly this it is. The gospel of Jesus Christ is God's message of salvation. Whosoever believes it, the salvation of God is granted to him. And therefore, the translators made themselves the effort to make us, the readers, understand what is meant by it. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this message of salvation of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When I read to you last night this newspaper article, or when I referred to it, that the government in Moscow decided to release all Christians who sit in prison in the coming November, then I didn't do it just as an announcement, but really with a joy and bliss in my heart that God also directs the earthly fates of the people, visible, sensible. God appoints kings. God dethrones kings. He directs the hearts of men like rivers of water. And if somebody tells me that this appreciated Mr. Gorbachev does only do it because he has taken himself the time to meet Reagan, I don't mind what plan he has. I'm interested in the plan of God. And I tell you freely, also the nations in this time must find their form according to Bible prophecy. This must be so, so that the plan of salvation gets end-time character. And also for this, we are grateful with all our hearts. Everything takes its course. Only, as we said, we want to become a part of this divine course, participating in that what God is doing now. Also the news that the first 100,000 Bibles will be printed in the Russian language still in this year. And this is published in the newspaper. This is a good step, a right step into the right direction. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. Oh yes, God is mighty. He is not only mighty, He is almighty. And His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. When all the other kingdoms will be crushed to pieces, then the God of heaven will raise a kingdom that will have no end forever. For His kingdom is an eternal kingdom, and He is an eternal King. And we received eternal life to live eternally in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah! Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us stand up and worship. Heavenly Father, with all my heart I thank You for Your precious and holy word. I thank You for the time of grace in which we live. I thank You for it, that You have given us I-Self, that we may recognize the time, the word, and the hour in which we live, the messenger and the message, receiving and accepting it. You always used men to speak through them. You were the one who spoke, who worked, who acted, yes, who walked. That's how John saw You, You faithful Lord, walking amidst the seven golden candlesticks. You had the seven stars in Your hand, the seven messengers, the seven angels. Lord, we thank You that it is still today like this, not in the hand of a denomination, not in the hand of a man. A man of God is in the hand of God, ordained to proclaim the word of God to the people of God, to bring the word of the hour. And as it is brought, so You make it alive. You give clarity about it, and You open to Your own the understanding for the scripture. Beloved Lord, may your name of a truth be hallowed in our midst. May your kingdom of a truth be manifested in our midst with power and might. May your will be done in our midst by your grace. Lord, here we are, available for you. We don't know what we shall decide, earthly or spiritually. May you make our decisions. May your will be done in our lives fully. Lord, unless your well-pleasing rests on us, otherwise we cannot stand our ground before you. Also to us, the testimony must be given. This is my beloved son, my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Lord, open the heaven. Yes, the heaven is open. We thank you that the bowl of oil is not empty yet. It is still filled. The Spirit of God is today available, as he was available at Pentecost, to fill your people, to revive, O Lord, you faithful and true God, who you spoke with us. Confirm your word by the power of your Spirit. Equip the brothers. Distribute the gifts and the tasks. Lord, gather your people. Take everything childish, everything disturbing, everything that destroys. Take it out from our lives and our hearts. And build thou thy church. Put us together so that we can say, heart and heart united seeks the peace in God's heart, as a hymn goes. Lord, there is a rest to the people of God. Beloved Savior, take us. May it not happen that the kingdom of God is taken from us and be given to other people. Lord, may your kingdom be given to us with everything what goes with it, by your grace. And may we be born into your kingdom to have part in that what you are doing. Lord, everything is up to you. Do according to thy word on us and with all of us. Save the lost, heal the sick, baptize with spirit and fire, and deliver all who are in chains, who are bound, or even who are possessed. Lord, give grace. May the Spirit of the Lord God so mightily come upon the church that all the power of Satan must leave this building and the people as being defeated, and the victory of God, the victory of Calvary, would be manifested. Jesus, thou victor of Calvary, confirm thy word and glorify thy name. We thank you once again with all our hearts for everything, in Jesus' name. Amen.